The second characteristic that I thought of was values. My friend Eileen and I were brought up in a small, close-knit town that shared some fundamental core values. If you were born in a small town, you know what I'm talking about. Bud knows what I'm talking about. Alan knows what I'm talking about. When a person's raised in a small town, it becomes part of your character. Sorry. I worked alongside my dad, not so much because he needed me to, but because he was teaching me responsibility. We worked on many home projects together as well as countless other projects at homes of family and friends. He was teaching me independence and the meaning of community at the same time. Small town values are born of hard work, commitment, determination. A man not only keeps his word, he is his word. I'm proud to be a small town boy, and I'm grateful to my parents, teachers, and coaches for instilling small town values in me. It's just pine pollen, I think, and I'm sorry. I learned by example of my father and the example of those around me every day. People were strong, good, and constant. Well, what values did Jesus give us? Hello? How about the Sermon on the Mount? When he said, "You have heard that it is said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Thanks. I appreciate it. And indeed. Thank you. The wonderful thing about these mics is you can hear everything I say. The bad thing is that you can hear... Some, sorry. All right, let's get back to the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even the tax collectors are doing that, or are not even the tax collectors. I had to throw something in for April 15th. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, Jesus grew up in Nazareth. I was fortunate enough to have visited Nazareth. And I can tell you, it was, and it still is, a small town. The third and last characteristic I want to talk to you about this morning is listening. Okay? Listening. Great friends listen to each other in good times and bad. They give consideration to what their friends are saying and show empathy, praise, sympathy, whatever the situation may call for. Listening attentively is a powerful tool to possess when it comes to friendship. I could tell my friend anything, and she would listen. She might burst out laughing, but she would not turn away from me. She would listen. Stephen ministers go through extensive training. But one trait that is constantly emphasized is to be a good listener. Well, I think we can all agree that God listens to us. Our featured hymn proclaims, what a privilege to carry everything to God. But how can we listen to God? I'm going to suggest four ways. Through His Word. In order to actually hear from God, we have to know some things about God's character. We have to develop an understanding of who God is and the way He does things. Fortunately for us, all that information is available in the Bible. The good book goes into a lot of detail about how you can expect God to react and what expectations He has for us. And most specifically, as I read from the Sermon on the Mount, how does He expect us to treat other people? Through other people. Many times God will use other people to get through to us. It's possible for God to use anyone at any time, but I find more messages coming from people who are practicing Christians than non-practicing ones. But even among our Christian friends, there will be letdowns. So in the final verse of Scriven's hymn, he asks, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? What are you going to do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Why? Because thou wilt find solace there. Through our circumstances. Sometimes the only way God can teach us something is to allow circumstances in our life to lead us through the very thing, lead us up to and through the very thing we need to discover. Paul says to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what's going to happen? In the next verse, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think about it. The opposite of anxiety is the tranquility that comes when the believer commits all his cares to God and worries about them no more. In the final verse of Scriven's poem, in the first verse he wrote, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Through the still small voice, my last example of how God talks to us is through the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, God uses a tiny voice inside of us to let us know when we're not on the right path. Whenever we're contemplating something and we don't have peace about it, it's a very good idea to just stop and carefully look at the options. There's a reason why you don't feel peace about it. On our Good Friday crosswalk, one of the scriptures came from John 18:37. You are a king then? Asked Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Sometimes the strongest messages are in simple, childlike songs. Songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know. No, Not One is another one of these simple messages that we can use to come to God with childlike faith. While it may have a simple message, the deep meaning gives us strength to persevere through any challenge thrown at us. Now, Debbie was right. It is awful quiet in here. And I want you to participate in this reading. I want you to repeat out loud in unison. After I say, "No, not one," I want to hear you say very loudly, "No, not one." Elizabeth and I have a neighbor, Sabatino Maglione, and he says, "When you do something, do it with passion." I want to hear some passion. So, "No, not one." Here's verse 1. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
No, not one.
Good. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one.
No, not one.
Jesus knows, this is a course, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
No, not one.
No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. And yet, no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. Verse 3, there's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. You guys are awesome. There's no one like Jesus Christ, plain and simple. There's no one. He heals us. He helps us in our struggles. He is high and almighty, yet humble, and he knows us. He is always with us, never forsakes us, and is the ultimate gift. Do you need encouragement today? Do you feel weak and heavy laden? Are you loaded down with life's challenges? Precious Jesus is our friend and refuge. He knows your past and your future. He knows who you are, and he knows where you came from. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He will listen. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, true friendship is a valuable and rare commodity. As we pass through this life, we may only have a few true and genuine friends. I am thankful that I can always go to you, the one who knows my every weakness. Thank you for being my friend. Amen.